put up here, I'll let you know that this is just going to be a very brief overview, a brief summary of what's turned into a very large and complicated study. And so again, I'm Lucas Haig. In this talk, I'm going to use the terms we and are very loosely. I've only been at Tribune for less than 2 years. This data and the vision behind it really belongs to Alan Schlegel and the research staff there at Tribune that have been in place. And he's been gracious enough to share this data set with me and allow me to present it today. For most of you in here know where Tribune is. For those of you who don't, we're in far west central Kansas. Annual rainfall is 16.9 inches. Deep Ulysses and Richfield silt loams, about 2 inches per foot water holding capacity, nearly level soil there. Overall objectives behind this study, and this might be a bit of a contradiction, but we wanted to operate as a long-term study, but yet be flexible enough we can evolve to answer changing questions. Concern at the time was we wanted something that could be production scale. Producers seem to have a reluctance of believing small plot results. They're more likely to adopt what their neighbor's doing than what the experiment station is doing at times. We wanted to provide data, an opportunity to provide data to the research and public policy community. We think about that in terms of crop insurance situations, and provide demonstration opportunities for extension and industry to reach producers. And we wanted to provide a research site where new management techniques could be evaluated within existing rotation conditions. So our study methods, you can see these are relatively large plots. Each phase of the rotation is present in 3 reps every year. All field operations are performed with production type equipment. We have 3 replications, the one being approximately twice as large as the other two. So basically 2 acres on the whole plots for rep one, and 1 acre for the whole plots on reps 2 and 3. So what this allows us to do, we got 100 foot of width, so we can have 3 20-foot subplots with 20 foot of border on each edge that way. It is a split plot design where whole plot is the rotation phase. Subplot is assigned to different varieties or management techniques. So typically what we've done is use 3 popular varieties. And so if we think about taking the average across those subplots, we believe that represents a whole farm management type scenario where you'd plant, you know, 3 different varieties of wheat, a third of your acres each way. We measure soil water in each of these subplots with a combination of gravimetric and neutron methods. We go to a depth of 8 feet in 1 foot increments. The plot area, about 100 acres, was initially native sod. It was broke out in 88 and was bulk farmed. We're not quite sure exactly what and what year, but it was a flexible wheat fallow type system. We acquired the ground in 92 and the area was wheat, and then we established the plots in 1993. All rotations then went through some change in 1998 except our reduced till wheat fallow. That is, you could say, our long-standing check. Additional changes have been made in 2000, 07, and 08 as cycles have allowed and our needs have changed. This is just, there ain't nothing really on here to see, but just gives you an idea. This is our plot structure since the beginning, and it's became, data management becomes an issue with these larger long-term studies. So our first phase from 93 to 98, our questions at the time had to do with tillage systems and summer annuals. And so we was looking at what is the impact of tillage systems in our base rotation, a wheat fallow rotation. So we looked at no-till, reduced till, which is where we used herbicides post-harvest and did not perform the first sweep operation till the spring, and then continuous till, where we did sweep operations both post-harvest and throughout the fallow period. The other question at the time was what summer annual crops have potential for adaptation in a intensified rotation. So we looked at corn, grain sorghum, proso, and sunflower. So jumping kind of the summary from that first, the first phase of the study, 95 through 98, this is wheat yield as affected by fallow tillage and rotation. No-till wheat fallow, at the top there, we're pushing 50 bushels on that 4-year average. And then we have our reduced till, and then we start to bring in our summer annual rotations with the wheat sorghum fallow, wheat corn fallow. And then we get down here, the reoccurring theme is going to be the impact of sunflowers in this talk. And you can see the addition, the use of sunflowers as our summer annual resulted in significantly lower yields. Available soil water at wheat planting, this is as affected by tillage in a wheat fallow system. And so what we're seeing there is we have some differences, especially down here in this 3 to 4, 5 foot range where our conventional till is significantly lower than either our reduced till or our no-till. We got available soil water at wheat planting. This is in our row crop rotations, and then also our wheat fallow reduced till is kind of our comparison there. And so you can see our wheat sunflower fallow had the most depletion at all depths. Our wheat fallow was the least depleted. And basically, we did not see any differences between corn and sorghum except for at the 3-foot depth. We did have more water left after grain sorghum than following corn. Question was row crop yields. We have this constant debate of really the debate in our area is corn versus sorghum. And so you can see there, I was kind of surprised when we pulled this together. Basically, the average yields, and more surprising to me, is our CVs were equal among the two crops in the first 4 years of the study, and that really kind of surprised me. You can see our sunflower yields actually had much higher variability than either our corn or sorghum yields did. And there's some other issues in here in terms of stand establishment. It's been one of our struggles with sunflowers. So summary of 93 to 98, each incremental decrease in fallow tillage increased wheat yields between 8 and 9 bushel. And at most, going from conventional to no-till, we picked up almost 17 bushel, 53%. Use of sorghum or corn in summer annuals resulted in equivalent subsequent wheat yields. And sunflowers, a summer annual, reduced our wheat yields by 7 bushel compared to either of our other options. So we've moved into the second phase now of 1999 to basically present. We've adopted full no-till for rotations involving a summer annual, and that comes from some work from Allen's other plots established in 91, some long-term no-till there. We removed sunflowers from all of our treatments in 2007, and at this point we think that's going to be a permanent decision. Efforts now are focusing on wheat, corn, and sorghum. And so the questions have turned into even further intensification. Can we move to a 3-crop, 4-year type system? And so we're looking more at these stacked rotations. We still have our wheat fallow reduced as our long term. This is wheat yield as affected by rotation. And so we have wheat fallow, wheat sorghum fallow, wheat corn soybean, wheat corn sorghum, wheat sunflower fallow, and wheat corn sunflower fallow. And so you can basically see, excuse me, I misspoke, this is not yields, this is available soil water at wheat seeding. And so, of course, we got the highest profile water. This is an 8 feet, almost 14 inches available in the wheat fallow, down to 7.5 inches in that wheat corn sunflower rotation. Okay, so that was our available soil water at planting. We move forward now to wheat harvest. We have wheat yield is affected by rotation. Our wheat fallow, wheat sorghum fallow, very comparable numerically and statistically here. As we pick up our corn, numerically we drop a little bit, and then our statistical train wreck down here is when we bring sunflower back into the rotation. And so that's where we're dropping off basically a third of our yield there. We look at the row crop yields in these rotations, and so we look at sorghum. We go from wheat, sorghum fallow to running corn ahead of it. We're dropping not quite in half there. But what's interesting is we're only dropping, we dropped 4 bushel on our subsequent wheat yield after that. And so we move down here to sunflowers. This is interesting in that if you want to plant sunflowers, you can sneak them in behind a corn crop and really not damage your sunflower yield. Of course, our overall wheat yields are penalized. And then corn, you can see the effect of soybeans, sorghum, and sunflower in the rotation there, no significance. As comparison, at the time we ran these, we did not have wheat, corn, fallow in this study. These are from adjoining studies under the same management, and the fact that they come out within a bushel of each other leads me some confidence in these numbers that they're probably comparable and just a loose comparison to these others. So going from a wheat, corn, fallow to a wheat, corn, some form of stack rotation, we're dropping in the neighborhood of 15 bushel. Okay, this is at sorghum planting. This is in our wheat sorghum fallow, wheat corn sorghum fallow, differences in soil water at sorghum planting. We see it at 1, 2, and 3 feet. We have significant differences there with more water available, of course, in the wheat sorghum fallow rotation. So our 98 to present findings. We're looking at the inclusion of sunflower yields. Sunflower has reduced our wheat yields by a third, and regardless whether it's a 3 or 4 year rotation. Wheat yields rotations involving 1 or 2 summer crops have been comparable to our reduced till wheat fallow. In addition to the 93-98 data, sunflowers appear to be a poor option within our rotations. The use of corn with soybean, sorghum, or flowers in a stacked rotation did not negatively impact corn yield. And I already mentioned this, if a producer desired to plant sunflowers, I think the place to do that would be following corn, because you weren't giving up anything in sunflower yield, and your subsequent wheat yields were penalized regardless where sunflowers were at in the rotation by the same amount. Future endeavors, evaluation of additional intensive systems. When we got rid of all the sunflower plots, we also established a continuous sorghum rotation. And then we previously had wheat, corn, sorghum, fallow. We flipped that, and now we also have a wheat, sorghum, corn fallow. And the benefit to that is you could go in with a Roundup Ready corn and clean up any residual weed issues you had from a sorghum crop. Further use of the yield by soil water data and risk analysis. I'm young and naive enough that I still hope we can get to some type of decision framework, flex crop system, and I think these types of data sets may help us get there. Something that's interesting is we've used these split plots for the evaluation of new practices. We've done some work with clump sorghum. Dr. Stewart will talk later in this session, and I have a talk in C3 tomorrow that details that. We're looking at corn seeding rates, so it lets us look at some other management practices within this rotation framework. Potentially using this data set for some model validation, and the data management becomes, as I've said before, we're at over 19,000 crop data records of some form and over 32,000 records of soil water. And how we manage this and query out the data we want in order to perform the analysis is becoming an issue and something we're working on. We're moving towards a relational database type system, and that's in the works. Acknowledgements, of course, to staff. None of this would be possible without them. We've received some consulting advice from Dr. Lee Murray. She's our AES consulting statistician in Manhattan. And Alan started this study without any funding and ran it for a lot of years without any funding, and because he thought it needed to be done. And we've been fortunate here in the last couple years. We've picked up some money from the Ogallala Aquifer Initiative, and that's really helped us out along this way. And with that, there's some views of the station, and I'd be happy to take any questions if I have time.
Yeah, we have time for one or two questions for Lucas. Any questions?
Yes, Neil.
That first phase, you had a graph of soil moisture distribution as affected by tillage. I question whether that's actually influenced by cropping system, because the tillage variable
Okay, when I had the wheat fallow and compared to the row crop systems, the first one was just wheat fallow. Was where we was trying to do the tillage comparison.
Okay, so it was just within one cropping system.
Yes, that was just that one there. That was just wheat fallow.
It surprises me that you see such dramatic soil moisture differences at depth.
I agree. I was not expecting that, but it does agree with the data in the adjoining study, Allen's Palin study. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, but I think most of the differences there are we see significant differences at that 4 to 5 foot range.
What was the conventional tillage?
Conventional till, it's all sweep tillage, but it involves tillage both after harvest and then the next year in the fallow period. And reduced tillage, we're using herbicides post-harvest and then sweeps in the spring. Dr. Stewart.
I've got time, I'll make a comment.
Yeah, that is time, go ahead.
I think one of the benefits of no-till in these kinds of soils is they crack. And if you don't have any tillage, when you get rain, that water will run to the bottom of those cracks. Whereas if you contrast that to the sweep tillage, you're destroying those cracks and you're creating 3 or 4 inches of dry soil there that just acts like a sponge and holds that water and prevents it from getting down into the substrate.
Interesting.
That's one possibility.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of a follow on to Bobby's question. Do you have any pre and post rainfall readings that allow you to take a look at that precipitation capture efficiency?
The question from Scott is, do we have pre and post readings that would let us look at that? And what we have in our data set that we still got a lot of work to do yet is we could go through and calculate fallow efficiencies over longer terms. And I'm sure we could isolate some data where a rainfall event occurred right before and right after. But we do all of our soil, we take moisture, soil water at all planting and harvest events. And at times we've taken it at the beginning and ending of fallow events. And we also have some in-season data occasionally. And so I think we could do that. It's just querying it out of there and looking at those sorts of things.
Thank you, Lucas.